wondered if the boy might appreciate some company. There is danger carried on the wind, is there not?
Let it go, Doc. Just let it go.
They talked for nearly half an hour, Ryan and Christy recounting their adventures in the lost Best Western, the others telling them about the sudden attack from the foraging band of pirates.
If they are Yovel's gang, we can't be certain of that.
But it's likely. The bodies and the weapons showed that.
Yeah, has to be. It's too big a coincidence if there's some other posse of thugs around the Keys.
Christy jumped to her feet, running toward the door.
Dean!
Ryan was at her heels, the others close behind, everyone snatching up weapons. They ran between the buildings, dodging around some of the open-air tanks, past the quay, until they could see the stretch of sand and the open waters of the ocean. By then, Ryan had established a slight lead, with Michael at his heels. But everyone was still closely bunched, Doc Tanner lumbering gamely along in the rear. They all stopped as they came over the crest of the dunes, seeing a tall figure in a yellow shirt with blue pants, holding a long cutlass to Dean's throat. He was dragging Dean backward, kicking and struggling, toward a slender canoe that was beached a few yards distant. The boy's 9mm Browning high power lay glittering in the sand halfway between him and the nearest building. They were about 70 yards from Ryan and the others, facing them.
Move and I spill the little one's throat in the sand. Stay where you all is and I let him go out into water.
Dean made an effort to shout something, but the pirate tightened his left arm around his throat, and the boy's desperate attempts to free himself became visibly weaker.
Mildred, can you take him out?
It's downhill and he's right behind Dean. Could get a shot when he gets him into his boat.
Miss him then, Ryan, and he's gonna get clean away.
I know that, but Mildred's right. Even with her skill, it's a bastard tough shot. Maybe we ought to wait and...
That's good! You stay still and the boy maybe live! I get him in board now!
Blood on the cross. I'll go and get him!
You what?
Before Ryan could do anything, Michael began to move swiftly toward the helpless Dean and his captor.
Come the fuck back here!
The sand was soft, giving treacherous footing, but the ex-monk was running as though he were on smooth ground, jinking every few steps from side to side, drawing the Texas Longhorn Border Special from its holster, and seeming to juggle with it while he was sprinting toward the pirate.
You get the boy dead!
The pirate hung on to Dean like someone in quicksand, clinging to the last fragile branch above his head.
Shoot him, Mildred, now!
I can't. Michael's in the way, Ryan.
Then shoot... No.
Already, Michael was well over halfway toward the oddly frozen tableau.
Boy dead, fucker!
Now they all stood in silence and watched the bizarre drama being played out in front of them. Ryan closed his eye for a moment, seeing in his mind the last act of that drama as he knew it would happen. The cutlass would be drawn across the throat of his only child. Even at that most desperate moment, Ryan began to bring up his Sig Sauer, ready to blow away the pirate who would murder his son. He opened his eye onto reality, but it was a reality that made no sense. Michael had thrown his gun away, keeping it high into the late afternoon sky, where the setting sun caught it in an aura of crimson light. The pirate was standing stock still, his mouth open, staring up in disbelief at the spinning blaster. He still held Dean, but the pressure around his neck had sent the boy slumping into unconsciousness, his knees bent, his feet dragging in the sand. Michael was flying, performing a complicated gymnastic somersault, tucked up, spinning like a wheel right over the pirate's head. And there was the glint of silver in each of his fists. Although Michael very rarely showed them, Ryan knew that he carried two slender daggers, one in each hip.
By the three Kennedys.
The pirate gaped at the whirling figure as it flew toward and over him. Michael did something with his hands at the moment of his closest passing, and to Ryan it seemed that he had somehow managed to reach down and gently pat the yellow-shirted pirate on both cheeks. Then he was over him, landing effortlessly on the balls of his feet, spinning around to face the man, putting out a negligent hand to catch the falling border special, which dropped into his palm as if it were a gift from the gods.
What did he...
Then Mildred saw. They all saw what it was that Michael had done. He had succeeded in ramming each of his knives into the side of the man's throat, just beneath the ears, so that the hilt stood out like bolts in the neck of a Frankenstein creation. Each was at the center of a bright fountain of arterial blood that pattered out on both sides, pumped by the pirate's failing heart. He dropped the cutlass, then let Dean slip from his nerveless hands. Ryan led the rush toward the sea, still unable to believe what he'd just seen. The man was down, his golden shirt now sodden with blood, blood that had already ceased flowing from the double mortal wounds. He was on his side, knees drawn up in a fetal position, dead. Michael had his arm around Dean, supporting the boy while he recovered consciousness. As Ryan arrived, he heard Michael talking to his son.
You were right. There were 8 of them.
After talking it over with his companions, Ryan decided that they should involve themselves in keeping watch for the attack they now knew was bound to come.
The sea is one point. The land to north, south, and west is the other 3 points.
JB was sitting, wiping at the lenses of his glasses, a sure sign that he was thinking deeply.
If I was Yeovil, and I had enough men and blasters, I wouldn't make the same mistake that I made yesterday, sending in too few with far too little.
Sure, spread yourself out. He might combine land and sea attacks this time.
Night or day.
The way it looks, Yeovil could believe he has a lot more men than us. Shootists, not white-coat scientists.
Upon my soul, Corder, I will not sit idly by while you malign my profession.
Sorry, Doc. There's scientists and then there's scientists, aren't there?
Apology accepted, my dear fellow.
What was I? Oh, yeah. Night or day? Night doesn't help him any, so I figure the next move will be an out-and-out frontal attack. Now, Yeovil can get close by land without us spotting him. But at sea, well, that's different.
I think that's where we can offer some positive help, through our cetacean friends.
Nobody had heard Mark Tomlin enter the room, and every face turned to him.
The dolphins? You mean strap on some bombs and send them off to get blown up? Is that your idea of help, Professor?
I accept the blame, but I can only say that a man sometimes has to do what a man has to do.
And you're only following orders. A great American once said that the only thing that evil men need to flourish is for decent men to do nothing. Why don't you try and explain how the end always justifies the means, Tomlin? Isn't that the next line in your script?
You have no right to plead morality when you ride with a band of the worst killers in Deathlands.
My father was burned to death by a bunch of redneck racists, Tomlin. Don't you ever, ever talk to me about morality.
Eventually, the atmosphere cooled, and it was agreed that Tomlin, helped by Miranda, would send out some of his trained dolphins to scour the coast to north and south on both sides of the keys, using their amazing sonic communications to check in when any seaborne attack was threatened. Ryan and his group would lend their own combat expertise to organizing a series of patrols and sentries around the Institute. JB brought the first warning of action, reporting back in the middle of the following morning from the highway to the north.
There's a small armored wag coming this way.
Support?
Nothing. Can't hold more than 2 or 3 people. It's got a white sheet on it.
What?
A white flag.
That has always been the sign throughout history of desiring a parley. It is called a flag of truce, you know.
Yeah, Doc, I know. I also know that it could be a trick to take us off guard. JB, tell everyone to get on triple red.
The wag looked like it had started life as half of a pickup truck and half an unidentifiable green saloon. Old weld showed a vivid orange around the body, and some rusted steel plates had been clamped on at the front and flanks to give it some measure of protective armor plating. A ragged white sheet fluttered from a side window. It advanced hesitantly across the dunes, through the scrub, finally stopping about 200 yards from the entrance to the Institute. Blue smoke poured noisily out of its fractured exhaust.
Make sure the watches around the back are keeping their position.
Ryan looked and found a wave of response from Dean, who'd been appointed combat runner. Tomlin had joined Ryan just inside the gate, squinting through gaps in the wall.
What do you think they want?
Take a guess. It'll be as good as mine. I reckon we'll find out soon.
A small metal flap opened on the driver's side of the wag.
I hear that Ryan Calder leads the defenders of this place. True?
Ryan leaned against the gate, making sure that he didn't expose himself to any snipers that Yeovil might have concealed in the brush.
You heard right. Have we met?
You rode with Traitor. Soon as I heard about the one-eyed man being around, I guessed it was you. Met up near New Orleans 5, maybe 6 years ago. Did us a deal over some bales of cloth and some good drinking liquor. But one of my men got greedy and there was trouble. You recall that, Calder?
Yeah. It finished with 2 good men getting ambushed from the bayous.
Shot in the back of the head when there was supposed to be a deal.
Deals aren't for you and me, Ryan. Deals are for the little people.
I remember the son of a bitch now. Wasn't called Yeovil then.